In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. The ability for people to heal themselves from chronic health conditions, stage 4 cancer, or heart disease has long puzzled scientists and doctors and brings a sharp indictment against the conventions of modern medicine. Yes, diet, exercise, healthy relationships, lowering stress are critical components. Our guest, however, says becoming a conduit of loving energy, a strong connection to God, and finding your own healing strength are equally important in learning this ability. Today we're joined by Dr. Gloria Benesch, author of many books including Go Within or Go Without, A Simple Guide to Self-Healing. We talk about this book and how her healing techniques are done using hands or mind over a distance. Dr. Gloria Benesch has her doctorate in religious studies. She's an author, motivational speaker, spiritual teacher, and mystic. Her website is miraclehealingministry.org. Dr. Benesch, welcome to Another News. Dr. Gloria, welcome to Another News.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, your book, Go Within or Go Without, was published in 1996, a very powerful book chronicling how you were giving presentations and healing hundreds of people at conferences. Would you please tell listeners about this time in your life?
I would love to. At the time this happened, my daughter was 3 years old, and I was married to an atheist at the time, and we didn't ever talk about God in the home unless it was using his name in vain. And one day my daughter walked into the bedroom, 3 years old, and she said, "Mama, how come you're laying down?" And I said, "Well, Daniel, I'm okay. I'll be up in a few minutes. I just have a headache." And in her tiny toddler voice, she said, "Oh, you just need a little extra love." And she rubbed her two little hands together and placed one on my belly button, one up by my breastbone, and closed her eyes and looked up at the ceiling. And her eyes had rapid eye movement, so I knew she was looking at something. So I asked her, "Daniel, what do you see?" And in her tiny toddler voice, she tick-tocked her head back and forth as she said, "I see red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple." And then she gasped and said, "Mom, I just saw white light. I just saw God." And I said, "You saw God?" And she said, "Oh, yes, and he loves us so very much." And my headache went away. And so 2 weeks later, I was in Denver visiting my family, and my mom complained about her elbow hurting. So I sarcastically was going to imitate Danielle, and I rubbed my hands together and put them on my mom's elbow and leaned my head back and closed my eyes like Danielle did. And I didn't see colors. I saw my inner vision opened like a widescreen TV, and I saw my mom slip on the ice at Lowry Air Force Base in Denver where she worked. And when she fell, she cracked her tailbone and hit her elbow. And then the vision closed. So I opened my eyes and I told her what I'd seen. And she said, "Well, Gloria, that did happen. In fact, it happened a year ago. And come to think of it, my elbow has hurt ever since. But son of a bee, it doesn't hurt anymore." And I said, "You're kidding." So I got back to Sacramento from that vacation and the phone rang and a woman named Rosemary called, and her first words were, "I want to come to you for a healing." And I literally laughed out loud and said, "What makes you think I can do anything?" And she said, "Well, a month ago I was laying in bed flat on my back in such pain, but after talking to you on the phone, I could get out of bed pain-free." And I said, "My normal, you're kidding." And so I said, "Well, why don't you tell me what's going on with you, and then I could offer you a kind word or a positive affirmation." And so as she began talking, telling me that she'd been bleeding for a very long time, and they'd done a DNC, but it didn't stop the bleeding, and now they wanted to do a complete hysterectomy, as she was talking, and I could audibly hear her, but my eyes were getting so heavy, I couldn't resist it, and I finally closed my eyes, And in my inner vision was this beautiful violet light. And it was coming from the left and the right to the center of my vision and kind of pulsating and then flowing outwardly away from me. And I didn't know what it was, but it was pretty, so I just kept watching it. And when she stopped talking, I could open my eyes again. And I said, well, it's Friday. Why don't you come see me Monday at noon? I don't know what I can do, but just come. So Monday at noon, she rang my doorbell, and I was embarrassed because I forgot why she was coming. And she said, don't you remember? I was bleeding. And I said, oh, that's right. And she said, but did you do something Friday? Because I haven't bled since we talked on the phone. And I said, well, I guess I did, but I don't know what I did. So through word of mouth, because they never charged, well, I did one time in the beginning, a quarter, and that was mostly as a joke. But when I got home from a vacation and I counted my quarters, it was 52 of them, and I thought proudly, wow, I helped 52 people. And it felt like somebody kicked me in the stomach, and the inner voice said, you helped no one. I healed 52 people through you. But beyond that, of not charging and not advertising, people kept talking about it word of mouth, and you only heard about me if somebody got a miracle through me. And then as the years passed, and I got inner guidance from Christ of when to speak, when not to speak, when to lay hands on, when to offer, when not to offer. And then it got to be so big that I decided I better write a book and teach humanity how to do it, because Jesus says in the Bible, the kingdom of heaven is within. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and it's within. And so I wrote the book, Go Within or Go Without, to teach people how to go within and make that direct connect to God's source and experience miracles every day of their life, because everybody can do this. I am not special.
Your work in this regard is remarkable. In addition to healing people, as you mentioned, you're teaching them how to uniquely connect with God, and you emphasize that we're not separate. And that's a profound concept for some people to absorb, because some are naturally connected to God in this way, but others get there, I suppose, through some kind of trauma. Would you please tell listeners more about this realm?
Okay. This is kind of a horror story for me, even the fact that it happened. But here I was, this little airy fairy miracle worker running around silently pretty much, other than teaching my workshops. You didn't hear about me. In fact, I'm known more nationally and internationally than I am in my own little town here. But my husband passed away 14 years ago, and I got violently gang raped and left for dead. And all of a sudden, I couldn't connect to that light anymore. And friends of mine would say, Gloria, you wrote the book. Just do what you taught. And until this happened to me, I didn't understand how difficult it might be for some people to go within, because I would remark to my friends, when I close my eyes, all I see is dark. And so it taught me how to be more compassionate for people who may not understand. But there are simple things that we can do. First of all, for me, to get back up and out of that rabbit hole to do what I'm doing now again, once again, it showed me different steps to take to make it easier for people. Because if you've been traumatized, the anxiety that goes on in your brain is outstanding. It just, your brain won't shut up long enough to get to that still, small voice within and find peace. And so I had found a product that helps, which I've talked about in my new book, Guts and Glory, From Fear to Eternity, which I'm giving freely to the world. At this time, with the virus and corruption being revealed and rioting and whatever the next thing they throw at us to keep us divided and in chaos, I've written this book. And again, you can go to my website, www.miraclepublishingdistribution.com, and download it. In that book, I've got the information about this product that I'm going to talk about, and it will sound like a commercial. And I'm not a salesman, but I've had anxiety to the point of, I wasn't afraid at night after I'd been raped that that they would come back in and do something else to me. My concerns were about it happening to children and other people. So at night I would lay there in such anxiety and not be able to get to the light. And I found a product called Q Science Fuse Hemp Oil. F as in Frank, U, S as in Sam, E, Hemp Oil from Q Science. The very first time that I took it, my mind stilled from anxiety, and I was laying in bed instead thinking inspirational thoughts of getting up and writing a book to help humanity and be inspiring to go back to who I was and what I was doing. But it was like a miraculous thing for me. And so in the book, I'm talking about it. I don't get anything out of it, you know, per se. Again, I'm not a salesman, and I give a number of a lady to contact if you're interested or go to their website. But this product, if you've been traumatized, it can still your mind so that you can do the rest of the steps that I give in simple ABCs and 1-2-3s to find peace of mind at this time on our planet.
And you have another website, miraclehealingministry.org. What's on that website?
Okay, on that website, I am telling people I'm a monthly inspirational columnist since 1995. And on that website, I give monthly updates, and there's a lot of inspiration in there anyway. But also on that site, you would be able to hear about when I teach my next workshop and where I'll be. And it also gives personal contact information, which we got a phone call one night at 10:30 here at the house, and we're a home-based miracle publishing company and ministry. But at 10:30 at night, and who calls 10:30 at night to a publishing company anyway? But the phone rang, and my husband picked it up, and this woman in a snotty tone barked, "Who is this?" And Kirk said, "Well, ma'am, this is Kirk. May I help you?" And there was a long pause, and she said, "The Kirk?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, may I help you?" And another long pause, and she said, "The Kirk from the book?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, may I help you?" She laughed and said, "I didn't know that this was your home phone number." And he said, "Yes, when Gloria decided to go public, she put our home phone number in thousands of books because she wanted to let people know if they needed help that she was accessible. So, yes, she put our home phone number in thousands of books out there. But I make myself as accessible as possible, and I'm just a one-man show, so to speak. But I keep up so far with emails, texts, phone calls, whatever. But if people are afraid or they've got a serious situation going on, they are more than welcome to contact me at any time, night or day, and I'll be right here for them. I'll do everything I can to help humanity.
Quite amazing, considering what you've gone through. Just to go back to that traumatic event for a minute, when did that happen to you?
Back in 2006.
Near the time your husband had passed?
Yes, he died in 2006, and I was raped immediately following. So on top of the grief, I was dealing with trauma, which I did not understand because I'm not a weak person, but I had been severely injured, and I went to 50 doctors in 5 states, and they just kept referring it to grief. But I knew it was more than that, but it took me 8.5 years of laying in fetal position with the drapes closed and severely depressed and down the rabbit hole and only seeing darkness in my mind and not understanding because I'm not a weak person. But then God revealed to me, I relived the entire thing over again, but without the men in the room. And after I woke up to the reality of what happened, then I got pissed off. And I thought, they screwed with the wrong gal this time because I'm going to do something about it. So I created a Global 8 Prayer Peace Movement, and I took my entire retirement out, and I recreated Miracle Publishing Company for one thing, but also I took the money to go out across the nation 4 years in a row now, 3 months at a time, and passing this information out, giving away 7,500 books and having Global 8 Prayer Peace Movement, the prayer on bookmarks, and Stop the Hate, pray the Global 8 bumper stickers. And so for now, total 12 months that I have gone from sea to shining sea, and it's gone global as well now too. And now with this free book that I'm giving people, it's explaining when you pray for your enemy. It says in the Bible, pray for your enemy, but it's easy to pray for those we love, but those that have hurt us in any way, it's kind of difficult to pray for a bad guy. But and it doesn't explain in the Bible why we should do that. But when you pray for your enemy, it diminishes their ability to hurt anybody else. They're removed from positions of power, and they're placed where they can't hurt anybody or they're thwarted. But what it will do, it gives the soul an opportunity to be lifted up to a spiritual state of consciousness, or they're removed. So it's at a soul level that they're being given a choice. But we also pray that same prayer for our loved ones, and when that happens, it lifts them up spiritually as well to fulfill their destiny of why they're here, to turn their gifts back on full force, and to open the doors for great good to come their way and windows of opportunity that they've never seen before. And so it's a very powerful prayer, and I'm getting wonderful feedback as a result of it.
Well, that's an incredible turnaround. What is the Global 8? What do you mean by that?
Okay, every 8 seconds an American is sexually assaulted. Every 8 minutes it's a child. And so the Global 8 prayer, on the bookmark itself, it says, when your attention is drawn to a number 8, say the prayer. And when I rewrote, not rewrote, but when I wrote Guts and Glory, from fear to eternity, I explain in there, we don't wait for a number 8 anymore because of the virus and everything else going on right now. When something comes to your awareness of any situation, and it can be, you know, anything from somebody hurt your feelings, or you're dealing with your life and somebody was mean to you or a bully or whatever, but don't wait until a number 8. When it comes to your awareness, the power of it is in the moment, and to say it for anyone and anything, any reason. And again, I'm getting such good feedback from it. When I gave that book away on May 15th, I heard the voice of God say, give this book freely to the world, which I'm more than happy to do. I'd give every dime I have to help stop insanity on this level, because nothing has ever healed mental illness. And back when we found out that I was a healer, which I've been since I was 6 years old, when I realized what's happened through me, but my mother asked me, Gloria, you do such wonderful things, and it's not Gloria doing it, but I'm talking from a mother's perspective. But she said, you do such wonderful things. Do you think that your ability to heal could help mental illness? Because no one has ever achieved a healing for that. Well, everything on our planet that's happening now, abuse on all levels, whether it's abuse of power or rape and abuse or violence of any form, it's all created as mental illness expressing itself. And this prayer heals mental illness. God gave this to me in my book, As God is My Witness, where he's on trial for 7 crimes against humanity, and he asked me to be his defender and demonstrate and prove his innocence. He's the one who inspired the prayer, and the last 3 books I've written have, I write books very quickly anyway, mostly between 24 to 36 hours I have a book. But the last 3 are the most inspirational ones I've ever written in my life.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Can you give us those titles?
I can. As God is My Witness, Revised Edition. It's Christ in Handcuffs. And there's a story behind that, too, with my artist that was a convict in a California state prison system. And then the new Guts and Glory, From Fear to Eternity, and Total Truth and Lies, which is the book written for prevention and recovery from rape and abuse, with a whole section of recovery, a section for the recovery itself. And so what I call it is, God has given me the ability. I mean, I could laugh about it when I say this out loud, But I consider that rape, abuse, incest, all of this silly stuff going on the planet, I call them turds, and I take them and polish them into inspirational books that are palatable enough that we can talk about them and feel safe enough to talk about them. And if anyone out there listening has been raped or abused in any form, let me tell you, there is nothing you can say that will shock me. I'm a minister, but not the kind that's going to shove it down anybody's throat. And Jesus is my teacher, but that doesn't mean that if you have a different leader in your heart or any religion, I am open to anyone, because there is truly only one God, no matter what name we put on it, which that could make most religions probably want to burn me at the stake for saying something like that. But Christ is one. In whatever form that God has put a name to it, is all individual, up to everyone, because every path is going to lead to the Christ, no matter what name you put on it.
Dr. Glory, you're very clear about the credit you give to God regarding your writing and gift in healing those with debilitating ailments. Living or healing under a duality will get you nowhere is a statement you make in the book. What does that mean?
Okay, we have been taught through the Bible that there's good and evil, but through my teachings of what I have received, I'm a mystic Christian, like Jesus was mystic Christian. What that means is that we get it directly. We're not getting it from a book or inspiring words from someone. We're going direct. So we've been taught that there's good and evil, and throughout our generations of teachings, we're taught that if you're good enough, you're going to get to go to heaven. If you're not, you're going to go to hell. Good or bad are human constructs of a mortal mind. And when you become a mystic and you step above into the spiritual state of consciousness, you see that God never gave any powers for good or bad of a human state of experience. And so I teach people how to neutralize the judgment of good or bad, like turning, I don't try to turn someone's illness into human health or somebody's human bad into human good. I'm stepping above and opening my consciousness to a spiritual state of all good. In the Bible, it says that he looked upon everything and called it good. He didn't call it good and bad. Again, that's a human state of consciousness. And in order to achieve miracles, we step above all the human judgment and we arrive at that state of oneness, which is all good. And it sounds over-the-top complicated, but it's really not. I bring this down to kindergarten level. And if you don't mind, I would like to teach the people the most important things that they need to know. When Daniel rubbed her two little hands on me and said, oh, you just need a little extra love. When you rub your hands together, if you can remember back to the first Karate Kid movie and Mr. Miyagi rubbed his hands together and laid them on the boy's leg to fight the last fight and win. When you rub your hands together, that turns on the energy, electricity, or love, whichever you feel most comfortable calling it. And the fastest way to get energy into the body, there's two forms of healing. The body can heal, but it's got to have energy to do so. And the second level is just attaining the state of consciousness and it in its perfection manifests in and through us. So they can be instantaneous miracles, or they might take up to 72 hours to manifest. But when you rub your hands and put them over your eyes, which are the windows to the soul, and it's the fastest way to get energy into the body. So you rub your hands, put your palm part on your eyes, fingers up on the forehead, 2 to 10 minutes. And I ask people to do this first thing when they wake up in the morning, at noon, after you've eaten, you're tired, you're sluggish. It takes energy to digest your food. But if you rub your hands together and sitting at the table, just rest your elbows on the table and lay your face into your palms, and it heightens your energy field. And then at night, when you're falling asleep, when you're laying on the bed, if you're on your side, the arm that's not supported, that's laying on the bed, the upper arm, prop a pillow or a teddy bear under it to support it so it doesn't get tired of being in that position, and then hands over the eyes as you're falling asleep, dissolves negativity and fear. It heightens your consciousness and it expands your energy field. And then I tell people, too, if you're sitting on the throne in the bathroom, what better things to do with your hands, unless you're reading one of my books, rub your hands and put them over your eyes while you're in the bathroom. The energy vampires, and I mean that in the nicest way, and they're usually our best friends, the people who walk into your life, dump their troubles on you, and they walk out uplifted and you feel hammered, give them the energy attention that they need. But when they walk out, rub your hands and put them over your eyes, beef up your energy field, which will, especially at this time with all this insanity going on the planet, keep your energy as high as possible, which keeps your immune system kicked into the highest level, and you're not going to get sick. And if you have fear of getting the virus or whatever going on in the world, it will burn it off and you can walk in peace. So it's morning, noon, and night. During the day, if you've been with an energy vampire, or if you go into fear at any moment, because it will burn off that fear and negativity. That is the most important thing I could teach today if I taught nothing else.
Yes, I've been doing that, but not during the day and at evening and the other times that you mentioned it, but I'll start to do it, and I have noticed a difference. I also noticed that technique that you mentioned in the mirror. If you recite, light is flowing through every pore of my body. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you would start to become opaque. Your image starts to dissipate. What's going on there?
I think it's fun that you brought it up because I'm very mystical and I love being able to talk about it and telling people the miraculous, amazing things that will happen when you start doing these things, and none of it should frighten you, and none of it is going to hurt you. It is all pure love. But when I said that night in the book that I was sitting there looking into a mirror, and I said, light shines through every single cell, fiber, muscle, tissue, organ, blood, and bone of my being, and I disappeared out of the mirror. And so I went into the bathroom and I'm looking into the mirror and saying the same thing, and I disappeared from the mirror because this milky white energy, I could see it floating in front of me, but and I could see through it to the mirror, but I wasn't there. And what that process does, if you can remember when Jesus was walking amongst the throngs of people, and he wasn't liked by everybody, but it is also a form of protection that Spirit does for us. And you got a little bit of a taste of it yourself just by reading and practicing and seeing that you could do it. And one time I went into a bar out in Sacramento, and I was standing right there at the bar, and the bartender was helping people on my left and my right, but it was like he couldn't see me because I had made that statement. And I thought, I wonder if I can just disappear at will whenever I want. And so I was practicing, and he was helping people on the left and the right of me, but not even like I was present. And then I set my purse up on the bar, and he turned immediately and said, how may I help you? And I laughed to myself thinking, oh, if you only knew.
Do you know what's going on there, maybe on a quantum level?
Okay, because we are energy, everything is energy. And so when you heighten yours, you are turning it to pure energy. We already are energy, but we can vibrate higher than the physical being. There are a lot of things. If you, I haven't gotten it e-booked yet, but One Soul to Touch tells the readers all about my mystical experiences of finding out that, oh, I can do that too, and I can do that and that, or whatever it is. But they're pretty far out things that can happen once you get onto the God level.
That's important to bring up, considering your powerful healing methods and teaching others to act as a conduit for energy of God to flow within.
I had a friend call who just found out about the sex trafficking of children and how bad things really are that's going to be revealed. And she said, but if this is all happening, where has God been, you know, for all this time? And I kind of had to laugh to myself because the whole world is wondering that, how can all of this go on if we have a God? But electricity is everywhere present as God is. But if you don't plug into it, you don't get to receive its benefits. And so how I teach people how to do that with simple ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. When you walk into a room, Jeff, you like have to, you want somebody to say hi to you. And so does God. Good morning, God. Before you ever get out of bed, I'm going to ask people to do this, and you will see miraculous things happening in your life every day. Because he says, if you put your feet on the floor before you make direct contact with him, he's talking about this in the As God Is My Witness book. He said most people are playing Russian roulette with their life because they put their feet on the floor and start trying to attempt to do things a human way, and you can fall in a bathtub or get in a car wreck or whatever. And if people would make their direct contact with him before they ever get out of bed, they're going to walk with peace and in his grace. So before you ever get out of bed in the morning, you say, good morning, God. And you become aware that, hello, I'm here, God, it's Gloria. But also to recognize the power is not outside of ourselves, it's within us. If God was playing hide-and-seek with you, where would he hide and you wouldn't find him? Right inside yourself. And for you to understand, to wake up and acknowledge that power and presence within you, and literally say it silently or aloud, I acknowledge the power and presence within me. And then I would like people to give at least 3 things to be grateful for before you ever get out of bed. I give thanks that he created this day, and he perfected it. He's gone before me. He's made the crooked places straight. He's smoothed things out. And so I give thanks for that, that he went before me and took care of everything. And I'll give thanks that every single thing I need is already established within my conscious realization of God and what God is, which is abundance or whatever we need. He knows the hairs on our heads, how many there are, how many are on our legs, whatever. But I give thanks that everything I need is already established within me. I don't have to seek outside myself and try to do things or to get whatever I need. It's already within me. And if I'll just wait upon the Lord, he brings it to me. It's happening with every one of these radio interviews coming to me since I put that book out there freely a month ago. And then give thanks for whatever else that you might want, but 3 things at least to be grateful for while I'm still breathing in and out and on this side of the grass. But once you acknowledge the power and presence within you, give thanks for 3 things. I would like everybody in the morning before they get out of bed to think one statement about what God means to them. For me, I always like to think of him as all-powerful. Everything is run by law. But his spiritual law, he didn't give any of that law to the power of contagion. And so it's nothing unless we make it something through our fears. We give thanks for 3 things. The next step, thinking about what does God mean to you? And to me, it means he's all-powerful, and all power is established within me. But now, those are just words unless you attain the state of consciousness. You can read the Bible or my books or any inspiring books, but they're just words because God is an experience, not an intellectual philosophy. And affirming all day long or for 40 days and 40 nights, you might get what you want, but if you just realize it's already established within you. So what I'm saying is that there's no power in words. There's only power in the Word of God. So when I make that statement of what God is to me, then I will follow it up with, but those are just words, unless you have the established consciousness. So I'll ask the Holy Spirit to open my inner listening ear to receive the Word of God, because I live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And what that means is that you may get an audible or inaudible statement from God. If you have a sigh, if an intense heat fills you all of a sudden that wasn't there before you said that, and you start kicking covers because you're hot, or a click, a pop in your ear like you're going across a mountain pass, any one of those four things, maybe even a yawn, but any of those things signifies that you have made your direct contact with God. You have plugged 110-volt human into 220-volt divine, and you can put your feet on the floor and be dazzled with his brilliance of how he brings what you need on that day. If you just put your attention on today, not thinking about yesterday, that you didn't have enough, or tomorrow of what if I don't, but if you stay in the moment of the day and pay attention to who shows up on your doorstep or on your telephone or in passing at a grocery store, and every single thing you need for that day is provided. It really is fun to have happen. You'll see it yourself. You'll see that these are not just empty words that I'm saying, because I have attained that state of consciousness. Therefore, when I speak, I'm speaking from experience.
And you've helped a lot of people, Dr. Gloria. You visit prisons among the many locations that you hold healing presentations, and an inmate named Nikki that you mentioned earlier reached out to you. Would you tell listeners about her, please?
You bet I will. She had a $600 a day heroin habit supported by prostitution and got 12 years in a California state prison for the drugs and Sacramento political reasons. She wrote to me in May of 1990 seeking spiritual guidance, and her very long letter was very negative about what she had lived through in life. But she said one statement of positivity, that she was an artist. And I, at the time, was writing an adult fairy tale book. I've written thousands of fairy tales for convicts, celebrities, family, friends. And I had put together a book, and I needed an artist. And so I wrote back to Nikki and asked her if she would be willing to do the artwork for my fairy tale book. And so I call her my con artist. But we became best friends, wrote back and forth for 6 years while she was in prison. I went out several times to see her in two of the prisons. And we wrote a book together called Between Saint and Sinner. I'm not judgmental about Nikki's path in life, because we all take our own journey in order to learn or do and achieve what our destiny is. So I don't have judgment about people. But Nikki and I became best friends. And this is a funny story. But I was flying out to go get her out of prison, and I'd gotten her interstate parole approved to come to Montana and live with my family and me. And I boarded the plane, and the stewardess said, "You can sit anywhere you like today." And I said, "Okay, I'll sit in 14B. And I thought, I don't even know why I said that, because I don't sit in the middle seat unless I have to. I'd rather sit by the window and look out, or by the aisle if I think I'm going to need to tinkle during the flight. But that day I'm going to sit in the middle." And so a woman is coming down the aisle towards me, and she pointed at the aisle seat to my right and said, "Is that seat taken?" And I said, "Actually, it was waiting for you." And I'm thinking, I don't even know why I said that. But she giggled and said, "Well, why don't you tell me why that seat is waiting for me?" I said, "Well, why don't you tell me why you think you want that seat, and then I'll tell you what you really do." And she pointed to overhead and said, "It's the first compartment available." I said, "That's what you think why you want that seat." And so she sat down next to me and she said, "Well, why don't you tell me why I really want this seat?" And I said, "Because it's one of the happiest days of my life, and I get to share it with you." And she said, "Why is it one of the most, or your happiest day of your life?" And I said, very briefly, as much as I could, about Nikki writing to me for help, how we became best friends, and now I'm flying to go get her and bring her back to Montana and to let her start a new life with me, flying the friendly skies and inspiring the nation. Well, I've got this woman at my right crying, and we haven't even gone down the runway. And I'm patting her knee and I'm saying, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I overwhelm people. I don't mean to. I'm so sorry. So, so sorry. And she's saying through her tears, no, you don't understand. I really needed to sit in this seat. And I said, why? And she said, I'm from a very elite family here in Spokane, and my son just mugged somebody downtown Spokane and went to prison. And I said, well, this is your lucky day because I have a prison ministry, and as soon as I fetch Nikki, we'll start writing to him, and I will send him every book I've written and walk him through this whole process. And so I did. But I know a lot of people in low places, and it's very unfortunate, but you're right. I have touched thousands of people and behind bars, too, and I love doing it. Right now I'm writing to two male convicts, walking them through the process.
Definitely more than touched. You're healing people's chronic conditions and completely changing their life and teaching them how to heal themselves. We have some time left in this interview, Dr. Gloria, to talk about maybe some of the basics of the hands-on healing guidelines you demonstrate in the book to help people bring energies into balance. Would you talk a little bit about that, please?
I sure will. I love this story to help make the readers aware. I had a woman call me from L.A. one day, and she said, I went to a healer out here. I've been going to him, and he told me today that my breast cancer is gone, and I just heard about you, so I thought I'd call and see what you have to say. And I said, Judy, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like you to rub your hands together, and about an inch out from your right breast, I want you to sense and tell me, does it go hot or cold or just right? And she did it, and she said, well, it doesn't feel hot or cold, so I guess I'll say just right. I said, now rub your hands together and scan your left one. And she did, and she said, oh, my God, it feels so hot. And I said, I know, because it's still there. And I said, I will begin immediately burning it off across the miles and send you the energy you need to heal. And but she, it was a Friday she called, and Monday was scheduled for the mastectomy. So after she got done having a mastectomy on Monday, she called me. And I started crying, and I said, oh, my God, Judy, I'm so sorry I failed you. But I couldn't, it's been established there so long that it was going to take me a minute to get it dissolved. And she said, you didn't fail me. If I wouldn't have called you and the healer out here in California told me it was gone, I was going to cancel the surgery. It could have spread and it could have killed me. You didn't fail me. So she flew me out to California to teach a workshop. But an example of that, a woman who just read The Guts and Glory, which I want to say, the A fell off the line on the title, is because sometimes we're all hanging by a thread. And when you remove the A, you remove the personality from me, and what you see on that title is Guts and Glory. But a woman had just read that book 3 weeks ago, and she contacted me, and she said, I woke up and I was hurting so bad I couldn't stand it, and I drove myself to the emergency room and I was crying and telling them they have to do something because the pain is so bad I can't stand it. And she said, and then I recalled that you talked about rubbing your hands and scanning for hot and cold spots, and I scanned my abdomen and it was on fire. So she said, I rubbed my hands together again and just laid them on my abdomen, and the pain went away immediately. And she said, and then I'm laying there in a quandary thinking, well, how do I tell all the doctors and nurses that are trying so frantically poking me in both arms that my pain is gone? And she said, for 2 hours I laid there going, how am I going to tell them that I don't hurt? I just want to go home. And a doctor walked in finally and said, we've run every test we can think of and we can't find a reason. And she said, okay, then I'll just get dressed and go home. And they gave her 2 potent pain pills to take with her in case it did start hurting again, but it never did. Another woman who read the Global 8 prayer for 1.5 weeks after she got the book contacted me and said, I've been sick for 13 years really bad, and I've got a tumor on my lung. And she said a week and a half of saying that prayer, and it felt like an ice cube in my chest that melted towards my heart. And she said I went to the doctor for my normal visit to check and see how big the tumor had grown, and it's gone. And I didn't tell them what I'd been doing. But the prayer is powerful. The ability to do this yourself is powerful. And I need every single one on the planet doing this and helping raise the consciousness of humanity, because we can do it. Jesus said, these and greater works ye will do also. Well, I'm just one who said, okay, he said I can, and I will, and I am.
It would be great to get a lot of support from the medical establishment, and sadly, it's the model is set up that they profit off of illness right now. In this country, I would say modern medicine, not necessarily only this country, of course. Would you talk about that? And interestingly, you also mentioned that children are really good at learning these healing techniques that you teach others.
I want to say one statement. 120 doctors paid my airfare into Nova Scotia to help a little boy that they couldn't. And what they wanted in return was for me to teach them my workshop, and I did. So Canada was open-minded to the fact of what they were able to do. And many doctors who have physically met me, or miracles have been documented through the medical world, have contacted me. I was out doing the Global 8 prayer for 3 months, January to March, before we all got locked down. And a doctor called me while I was on the road asking me to help an individual who he was unable to help. So things are turning around. About the children being so able to do this, I was driving in the car one day, and my 5-year-old grandson and 3-year-old granddaughter in the back seat. And Taylor, the 3-year-old, said, Granny B, I have a headache. And I looked in the rearview mirror and I said, Colton, you know how to do this. Get her done. And he rubbed his two hands together, laid them on sister. And I said, tell Granny what color you're seeing. And he said, it's red, which made sense. She had pain. So I said, tell me when the color changes. And he says, okay, it's yellow. Now it's pink. Now it's blue. I said, you tell Granny B when it turns purple. And he said, I see purple. And Taylor said, and I don't hurt anymore. But as soon as a child can tell you the color spectrum, they can do it. And again, you can't hurt anybody with it because it's pure love. You can't overdose anybody on love. But yes, I want every child on the planet to know how to do this too. Somebody hurts himself at recess, a child knows what to do, walks up and does it. That we help one another.
Definitely. Do you find sometimes that some people, while they have used your healing techniques and they're really good at it, they've healed themselves and maybe others, that they might forget about this? And is that a microcosm for our society, our culture, and maybe connection to God?
Oh, you know what? And it's all okay. It really is okay. In fact, I tell people, too, when I'm working with them, don't let go of your medical doctor until he says the cancer is gone. I have never told anybody to stop seeing their doctor. And taking a pill randomly or whatever, God appears in all forms, and sometimes it might be a surgery even. Miracles will happen, but everything gets set up so perfectly and flows so naturally. But no, don't think that if it doesn't happen a certain way that it's still not happening. It is. But for the majority of things in our life, and not just health-wise, but financially or in every way, the God source works through, and it's all one anyway. No, not to hold judgment even against a medical doctor. Might be the miracle you're looking for.
Well, Dr. Gloria Benesch, it's just been a pleasure speaking with you about your work, which is really astounding. And, of course, your book, and this is a 1996 book, Go Within or Go Without, A Simple Guide to Self-Healing, very powerful guide to self-healing. And I'm wondering, did Nikki do that illustration on the cover?
On which one? The
Go With Him?
Yes. Yes. She saw when she got here that the stool by my phone, I would sit down, cross my legs, close my eyes, and do healings all day. So that is a real stool in my home. And while I was writing that book, Nikki said, are you going to let me out of prison in this book yet, honey? And I said, no, Nikki, next book.
What an incredible relationships that you've made from your healing work and profound connection with God. And sharing that is just the best thing that can happen. And thank you again for being on Another News. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so very much. The Go Within is going into its fifth printing, and nobody's ever heard of me before, but it grows feet, and it walks and goes where it wants. And if you lend it out, you'll never see it again. But I appreciate the time that you gave me. I could talk for 40 days and 40 nights.
That's great. I want to also say thank you to Josephine Grace, who has been a guest on the show, and she did a fantastic interview as well in print. So I just want to say thank you to her for letting me know about your work and who you are.
Thank you so much, too. I know it. I love her with my whole great big heart.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yes, she is.
Dr. Gloria, thank you again. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Righty. Talk to you later.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.